Hey everyone, it's Michelle.
And Brayden.
And this is Spooky Shit. This week we're going to be talking about catfish murders. I'm going to start out by talking about the murder of Casey Woody.
But yeah, and then I'm going to talk about the murder of Cynthia Huffman.
Warning, this episode may contain graphic details. Listener discretion is advised.
Okay, before we get started, how you doing? what was that? You good?
I'm good. I'm just really tired.
Have you started the job?
I did. I started on Monday, and yeah, my days are just really long. So I wake up at 5.
You lost me there already.
Yeah, I wake up at 5.
You wake up an hour after I end streaming.
Sheesh. Yeah, I wake up at 5 and basically go to work. I do have like some free time before I gotta go to school, but it's not much. And then I have school, and I don't really like go to sleep, or like I'm in bed until like 11.
So you get like 6 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah. So my day is literally like fucking 17 hours long.
What? That's so gross.
Very gross. So I'm just like really tired, and I'm actually supposed to be at school right now.
I was wondering if you had school today.
I got school every day. I'm supposed to be there in 10 minutes.
Are you going in late, or are you just not going today?
No, I'm just not going. I'm too tired. But yeah, we're new job is cool. I told you, right, that they make circuit boards?
Yes. It sounds very, like, factory-ish.
It is.
Yeah.
It's just, honestly, like, super easy. It's pretty chill. There's, like, no dress code. I can wear whatever. I can wear hats. I was like, hell yeah.
The bar's so low. You're like, I'm allowed to wear hats. It's crazy.
True. But, yeah, it's really cool. It's just a lot, like, of information. Well, I think because I don't know anything, and they're just info dumping on me.
They're gonna be shit for that.
And because the machine that I'm basically gonna be in charge of, it's literally, I think they said like 75 feet long.
The fuck?
It's a fucking like big ass. It's not even. It's just a long machine.
Yeah.
But yeah, and each like there's like little like. They call them baths or tubs, and each like bath or whatever has different chemicals that do different things.
Yeah.
So I'm like learning that all of that right now, and it's just information overload that I'm like, my brain is like, what?
Oh, I fucking bet.
But it's pretty cool. It's chill. People are nice.
Do you have a lot of AC there? We're going through a fucking heat wave in San Diego right now. So do you have AC?
There is AC in the building, but I work in the part where they can't have AC.
Ew. If anyone hears any background noises, we both have fans on because it's actually just like too fucking hot to not have fans on right now.
Yeah.
So sorry. No, oh, also, we still don't know what the fuck's going on with this mic. Like, literally, it feels like no one's ever had this issue now. Can't find any information. It's really annoying. So a lot of audio things going on this week. Bear with us. But yeah, you said you like the people.
Yeah, they're pretty so far. I mean, I'm barely like talking to more people. Which is because like we work where there's a hella machines. So it's not like you could really like talk to anybody. You know what I mean?
Oh, you just kind of have to keep to yourself because it's loud.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to, but like,
might as well.
Yeah. It's not like it's quiet or you can have a conversation with people. Like, you have to be like right next to them.
Just yelling over the machines. So yeah. How long have you worked here?
Right. But yeah, it's been pretty cool. Like I said, it's actually like pretty easy once you understand and get it. But it's just a lot of information that I was like, fuck. My brain hurts and I'm tired and school.
But, are you going to nap after this?
Probably.
I'm going to nap after this too.
And it was funny because the other day, today I just feel really tired because the other days I didn't really like feel that bad. I was like, oh, you know, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Wednesday. I told myself, oh, you know, I should try to like take a nap before school because I have like 2 hours and a half to kill.
Yeah.
And so, like, I grabbed something to eat, I ate, and then I was chilling in my car, and I was like, I should try to nap. But I was like, but it's too hot.
Yeah.
And so I kind of waited until, like, it got really close to going to school. It was, like, maybe an hour before school. And I was like, fuck it. Like, I'm just going to leave my car on and try to, like, take a nap.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I left my car on, and I had the AC on. And I didn't feel sleepy. But I didn't feel sleepy, so on Spotify I like played like some relaxing music to you know, whatever. And I played that because I didn't feel very sleepy, and then I was like telling Alaris that like next thing I know my alarm's going off and I'm waking up like from in pain because my arm like fell asleep.
Oh, God.
And I was all confused. And I was like, damn, like, I actually, like, passed out.
You're like, I'm not even tired.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, literally.
Like a child.
And then I just started laughing at myself. Actually, today, I don't know why I'm so tired today. I literally was, like, because my trainer got pulled away to do something else.
Yeah.
And so there was basically, like, nothing for me to do because I can't do anything on my own. And, I mean, everyone else was busy or, like, he's the only trainer.
Okay.
So they ended up printing out, what would you call it? It's kind of like the directions on, like, how to run the machine.
It's not like an SOP or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
It's basically just, like, oh, procedures of operations or, like, I don't know.
Something like
that. It's like a list of what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and, like, how to care for it and, like, the process of it. And yeah, mm-hmm. So much information. It literally was, like, 20-something pages.
That was going to take a while to get used to it.
Yeah, I literally, like, started reading it, but I was so tired that I literally, like, my head kept falling because I would start, like falling
just asleep. Whenever I was like, fuck. Whenever I had my orientation at the zoo, my brief stint there, we had to like watch a presentation for 20 minutes and I was like low-key falling asleep too.
It's
hard. The room was dark, so I was just like letting my eyes close a little bit.
No, yeah, it hit me hard today. I literally like I was texting Alaris. Well, because I can't even have my phone, but I was like sending her through my Apple Watch. You can like it and it types for you. So that's how I was, like, texting her, and I was just, like, I was, like, dude, like, I'm fighting demons right now. Like, I'm, like, I cannot right now. Like, I literally couldn't, like, keep my eyes open, and I even started, like, reading out loud to try to, like,
yeah,
you know, keep myself awake. And then I started, like, basically, like, in a way, losing consciousness because I was, like, started, like, saying, like, random-ass words and, like, not making any sense.
Okay, literally me once when we were recording and I was sleepy and you were talking and I was just like, ugh.
That was me. Back,
I was like, what the fuck was wrong with me?
That was it's me at work.
Weird. I'm like, well, how did we handle this when we were kids and now we're adults and we can't even just fucking sit here and stay awake?
For real. I don't know.
It's so weird.
But yeah, that was me today. I literally could not. I like was trying to like talk out loud, talk to myself. Like kind of
dreaming a little bit.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, I hope no one saw me because I
like this dude's insane.
But
just mumbling to yourself, making up shit.
Well, I know they can't hear me because of the machines.
Oh yeah, true.
I mean, if they saw me,
you'd be falling asleep.
Yeah, but yeah. So moral of the story, I'm just really tired. But other than that, It's going well. It's going well.
That's good. Okay.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm also tired. My nieces came to visit from Idaho this week, and I had the 8-year-old over last night. The youngest didn't come visit, but the 8-year-old was here, and she's like, I don't know. She was like acting like weird since the day they got here, bro. She was like saying how her head hurt and stuff and how she's so tired. And then yesterday, it was kind of fucking funny, actually, because at like 8 p.m., she was like, all right, I want to go take a nap. But she said she wanted to stay up late because she never stays up late. And it's her last night in California. And she went and like went to sleep in our room, and like Robert was sleeping in there too. I just set up like some our little couch cushions on the floor for her because the AC was on. So I was like, all right, she's more comfortable in here. And I was like, okay, I'll wake you up whenever Robert like goes to work. And then like she just looked so sleepy. I just like left her in there. I felt kind of bad. I even like texted her mom, my sister, and was like, she said she wants me to wake her back up, but it's like 9:50 and I feel like I shouldn't wake her up. And she's like, yeah, just let her sleep. So she went to sleep mega early, so I knew she was gonna wake up early. That did not stop me from staying up till 3 a.m.
god damn.
I was trying to research, but I kept getting distracted by Discord. Like, people were talking to me and stuff, and I was just like, every time, I'm a fucking idiot, I should have just closed Discord. I had my research open on one screen, and then my other monitor was just Discord. And anytime I'd like see something like pop up, I'd be like, oh, what's happening? And then just like be typing to people and be like, haha, I'm supposed to be researching at like 1:50 in the morning. And I'm like, I don't know. I slept 4 hours. I'm really tired. I'm supposed to stream 8 hours tonight. So I'm hoping to just sleep as soon as we're all done with this and feel okay. I had 2 cups of coffee to try and like stay awake, even though coffee like doesn't really wake me up. And now I just feel like kind of shaky and still tired. Didn't really help. But
maybe that's why I'm dying. I haven't had my usual dose of caffeine.
Maybe. Or you're just tired.
Yeah, you're right. it's all the above.
It's just all the things. Yeah, it was cool seeing my nieces. The 8-year-old, it's funny, she's like so quiet compared to the 9-year-old. Like the 9-year-old's like talkative and like was like playing video games and stuff, and then like this one was just like, let's watch a movie. I'm tired. I'm going to go take a nap. Wake me up and we'll watch a movie. And then just doesn't do anything. She's like, let's just play Uno. She's very mild, which is funny because she's definitely like the crazier of the two. She's a good person to sleep over. Mm. Yeah. Also this week, I got my tattoo.
I saw.
Yeah. My RuneScape tattoo. I'm very excited about it. So it's like 2 little penguins dressed as like a sheep on top of them. And I asked for it to be like watercolory. I think what I meant by that was just like, I wanted it to be like colorful, low-key. I didn't know what I meant. That's why I kept saying like watercolor-ish. And he drew it definitely way more traditional style. So I had him switch it a little bit just so it was like a little bit less traditional, but still a little traditional looking, which is like my first of that style. But I quite like it, actually. I think it's cute.
That's cool. Yeah.
And I'm being annoying about it, posting like everywhere on all the social things. I even posted on Reddit, on like the OSRS Reddit, and someone said like, that sheep's fucking stupid. And I was like, oh yeah, people on Reddit suck. I kind of forgot. Forgot people are mean. And mostly it was nice stuff. But like, that's the one that obviously I remember. Mm-hmm. And then also yesterday, before I went and picked up my niece, I had an eye appointment. And I'm always saying how I think my eyesight's getting worse. And, like, I have reading glasses. I just don't wear them that much. Like, they're for the computer. But they have a glare, so I don't want to wear them when I stream. And they're just uncomfortable under my headset. And I went in yesterday, and I was telling her how I thought my eyesight was getting worse. And she's like, you know, they're like, cover up your left eye, cover up your right eye. And you look at the square, and you read off the number or the letters. Hmm. Covered up my left eye. That square with the letters immediately just started to look like a white square with nothing black in it. And I was like, oh, fuck. So, basically, my right eye is becoming nearsighted again. And I got prescribed glasses to wear when I drive at night and when I watch TV.
Damn.
She said it's not bad enough to get LASIK for a second time. Because mind you all, like, I got LASIK 4 years ago. It's not been that long. It's just my eyesights are like degrading as I speak. So now I'm like, I'm wearing my reading glasses right now because I usually don't wear them, and I'm like, let's try to stop this shit before it gets worse. But it's unfortunate. I knew as soon as that square, I was like, all right, cool, letters. I knew as soon as it looked just white that I was fucked and that she was gonna say I needed glasses. So super unfortunate. But to make things a little bit better, last night, one of the many distractions was somebody in our Discord gave me $35 to buy this Humble Bundle pack. Humble Bundle's like, I guess you could like buy video games and you like name your own price, but if you spend a certain amount, they'll like donate money to charity for you. And they sent me money, so I bought like 10 different Resident Evil games because I like playing scary games kind of, so I'm kind of excited to try those out. I've never played one before. Oh, I also fucking forgot to tell you. The other day, I went to a restaurant with my sisters and my sister's like husband and her newborn baby that she had a few weeks ago. And as I was leaving, I left before all of them because I had to go home and stream. I was backing out of the parking lot and I was just like super distracted and stuff. And as I was backing out of my spot, a car ran into my car.
Oh no.
And it was so funny actually in hindsight because I stopped my brakes, gassed, and just immediately covered my face for like 5 whole seconds and was just like, fuck. Like I was so upset at myself. And like it freaked me out because I literally didn't even see them. I'm like, I was looking. It's okay. This is going to sound dumb. I was looking in the rear view, like camera thing. I don't think I looked. I don't know who was at fault. But whenever I went out, like my car was fine. It was just a little scratch, but their car had like a little dent in the front and I didn't know what to do. And I know you're not supposed to apologize, but I felt like I should apologize. So I just kept trying to be like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, let me pull up my insurance. And I was like, actually, let me call my sister. And I started calling and then they're like, you know what? No, it's fine. I've been in like parking lot stuff like this before and it's hard to figure out who's at fault. So it's just okay. And they just left. And I was like, thank God that would have fucked over my insurance so bad.
That's cool.
That was very cool. I don't know if it's, I wonder, they could have just been nice, but I was like, I wonder if they were like drinking or something. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why most people I feel like would not just let me go. Who knows? They could have just been nice. But yeah, that's the main things going on. That was just like stressful and annoying. But still doing my GoPuff thing. And I'm going to bother you about it because I'm pretty sure they delivered to your house. So I'm doing it now. I'm doing the thing where I'm officially offering people $15 to order and I will fucking pay for your snacks. I will do it because I'll still get $85. And you're going to collect all your household's phones and just order the same things. And I'll just send you like $150. Or there's not 10 people in your house. I'm definitely not mathing correct right now. But
there's like 6 of us.
Okay, if you guys all actually have cell phones, the fuck?
Yeah.
That's $600. Oh my God. I'm going to text you after this. I mean, you're going to nap, so I'll text you about tomorrow maybe. But your face, you're like, I'm not doing this tonight.
Yeah, I'm like, not today.
No, I'll hit you up tomorrow.
Rain check.
Yeah. But that's going okay. We have 7 people total now. It's everyone that's done it is in my family, and I've had to call them. I've had to swallow my pride and just become like the most annoying person I know, because I think that's the only way I can make money through sponsorships is to be just annoying, you know? Yeah, you got to be shameless. Yeah, I think that's it. Pretty sure. Yeah, that's it. It felt like there was a lot, but I think I've said this before. It's weird that I'm in a podcast because I'm a really shitty storyteller.
No, you're not.
I'm like, a lot just happened, and I told you guys all so quickly. Went from like car crashes to tattoos to sponsorships all over the map. Yeah, oh, the tattoo also really hurt, just so you know. It was above the ankle.
Just an FYI.
Just an FYI, I was making faces the entire time, but it only took like 30 minutes, so that was cool. But yeah. Are you ready for stories?
I think so.
Okay. So this week I'm going to be talking about the murder of Casey Woody. Casey Woody was born on October 17th, 1989 at Baptist Medical Center in Little Rock, Arkansas, to parents Rick and Christy Woody. She also had 2 older brothers, Austin and Tim. As a newborn, Casey suffered from meconium aspiration syndrome, which essentially caused her to have breathing problems, resulting in her having to spend the first few weeks of her life in the NICU, which is the newborn ICU, if you don't know. Though she had to return to the hospital a few more times as a baby, eventually Casey's lung issues did go away. On July 19th, 1997, the Woody family was on their way home from Tim's baseball game when their car collided with a horse that had run to the road. The horse shattered the windshield and hit Christy, who was sitting in the passenger seat, killing her. She was just 38 years old at the time of her death. Everybody else in the vehicle survived, with just Rick, who was driving, suffering broken ribs. Rick was hopeful that 7-year-old Casey hadn't seen her mother's body, but she did later confide in her aunt that she'd heard her mom make an noise and saw all the blood on her and knew that she was dead. Yeah, super fucked up. She also said that her mom had liked horses, and after that incident, Casey herself hated them. In 2002, Casey had been attending Greenbrier Middle School as a 7th grader, where she was a member of the band, choir, and gifted and talented children's programs. She's described as being very friendly and caring, and while she may have been quiet around people she didn't know, she loved to perform songs and dances around her friends and family, who she was really close to. Some of her hobbies included poetry, singing, dancing, and playing the saxophone, which I played in the 5th grade, by the way. I was really bad at it.
Did you?
Yeah, I was supposed to play it at the 8th grader's graduation, and I was, like, embarrassed about it. So I used my parents' divorce as an excuse not to, and was like, I have to pack. My mom's moving out.
Gee.
Like, I remember having the thought, I'm going to use this as an excuse to not do that. I didn't need to pack that specific night. I was just like, fuck no, I don't want to do that. It's embarrassing.
I think the only, like, instrument I played was the recorder.
The recorder? I played that in 4th grade, too. It's lit. That's God's honestly number one instrument. Growing up with only one working parent, Casey had taken on household responsibilities. She washed her own clothes, made herself dinner, did her homework even without being asked. Her dad never really had to worry about her. People also said that she had empathy beyond her years, and she wouldn't hesitate to befriend a lonely classmate. The remaining Woody family, minus Austin, who had moved out, lived in Holland, Arkansas, along with Tim's friend Eric Betts, who was temporarily staying with them. And at this time, Tim and Eric were both 19 years old. The family lived next door to Teresa Paul, Casey's maternal aunt, who had lost her husband just a few years prior. In a really awful coincidence, Teresa's daughter, Casey's cousin, Jonah, had also died in a car accident in 1994 at the age of 17. So the aunt and Casey's dad both lost their spouses and both lost a daughter.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, and two of them were in car accidents. The family's home was located in a rural, heavily wooded area. Due to the location in this rural area, outgoing calls could be a bit expensive. Because of this, Rick allowed Casey to use instant messaging on the computer so she could keep in contact with her friends. Registering on Yahoo Messenger under the username ModelBehavior63, which she'd chosen after the Disney movie and the number from one of her brother's football jerseys, Casey was able to talk to her friends online, and she eventually got curious and started to join chat rooms to meet new friends.
Omegle? No.
Oh, God. Omegle, I actually spoke to pedophiles. That's cool. That's just a website should not be a thing. If too long didn't read, if you've never been on Omegle, you connect webcams with random people around the world, and it's a lot of people there already jacking off. It's fucking gross.
Yeah, it is gross.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on it, like, now?
Do people
still go on it?
I'm sure people do. I'm sure there's, like, a lot of creeps on it.
I'm, like, curious now.
Go on after. Being a typical young teen, Casey was a little interested in dating. In one email sent to a male friend at her school, she said, "My longest relationship was, I think, 3 months. I'm usually the one that gets dumped. I have really bad luck with guys." Dude, I'm like so totally confused about guys right now. Ugh. Sometimes guys really bad suck, you know? It's like, I don't know. Weird. LOL. Well, I'm gonna jet because I don't have nothing to say. If that's not the most 13-year-old message I've ever read in my life, by the way. Pretty sure I've said that.
Yeah. I still say that.
In the summer of 2002, Casey befriended user Jazzman_DF in a Yahoo Christian teen chat room. Jasmine claimed to be David Dave Fagan, a 17-year-old who loved surfing in the beach, and his pictures showed an attractive surfer bro-looking young man. The two quickly became close and chatted frequently. It was, like, unclear to me if they were ever an official couple, but they were definitely, like, romantic overtones to their relationship. Casey's dad, Rick, worked long hours during a part-time second shift as a police officer for the Greenbrier Police Department and wasn't really home to monitor Casey's interactivity. Though he did say later that he knew she was talking to boys, he wasn't too concerned because he knew that she was at home and these boys were, like, far away wherever the fuck they lived. Casey confided in her online friend Dave about her mother passing away, and he was able to relate to her situation. He had an aunt, who also happened to live in Arkansas, that was recently in a car accident and was now in a coma, but she wasn't expected to live much longer. Casey felt bad for Dave and his aunt, as his story was similar to her mom's, so she told some friends and family about him and his situation. Her friends Sam and Jessica added him to their Yahoo buddy list and also began to befriend him, but Sam was a little scared for Casey. She warned her not to be naive and that she shouldn't become close to or fall in love with someone that she hadn't even met before. She was also kind of worried about Dave's age because he used outdated slang like groovy, righteous, and far out. But Casey assured her this was probably just because he was from California. People talk differently there. Casey actually mentioned to her dad how she had a friend Dave who was turning 18, and he told her that he was way too old for her and she needed to stop talking to him. But of course, being a typical teenager, Casey did not listen. She told Dave about this conversation, and the two instead began to mostly talk to one another over the phone, as well as the chat rooms.
Oh, so it just got worse.
Yeah, it got worse, yeah. And because outgoing calls were so much, I read that she would call him for just a little bit, and then he would call her back right after. One night in the winter of 2002, Casey was having her friend Jessica over for a sleepover. She'd been on the phone with Dave when the two began to hear strange noises outside, similar to the crunching of leaves and sticks. Then they heard a floorboard squeak in the kitchen, like someone had been walking on it. Terrified, the girls ran into Casey's room and blocked her door with a dresser. Still on the phone, Casey told Dave that they were afraid someone had broken into the home. They told her that she didn't need to worry, nobody was there. The noises stopped soon after. At one point, Casey met a second boy in her chat rooms, user Taz2999. He claimed to be a 14-year-old named Scott from Alpharetta, Georgia. His profile picture was of a teenage boy wearing a football uniform, and he said that he loved football and wrestling. The two began to talk more and began officially dating on October 3rd, 2002. When Dave found out about the relationship, he told Casey that he wanted to stay friends, and he even began talking to Scott himself. But I think he talked to Scott on the phone like twice. But he did to Casey start to like more frequently talk about his aunt and how she was just getting worse and worse. On December 3rd, 2002, Casey's friend Sam noticed that she had a picture of Scott in her locker and told her that he was hot. But Casey apparently misheard her and thought that she called her boyfriend fat. They don't sound similar at all. But the two began arguing, and Sam asked how Casey had even gotten the picture, and she told her that Scott had mailed it to her. This really freaked out Sam, as she'd obviously given the stranger online her address. She told Casey not to do that and said that Scott could be an 8-year-old rapist and that photo could be his grandson. Casey didn't seem to care about her friend's warning, so Sam actually took her concern to the school counselor, Diane Keller, who she told that Casey had been giving our phone number online. The counselor called Casey in to warn her about the dangers of giving personal information to strangers online and told her not to meet any online friends in person without a parent there too. She then left the two girls alone to talk and they were able to reconcile. That day, Casey asked Sam if she could spend the night at her house, but Sam said no, as there's no way her mom would let her have a friend over on a school night. And regardless, Casey would actually need like a note to get dropped off at Sam's house anyways. I don't know if you had that. At my school, if you wanted to get off at your friend's bus stop, you had to have a note from the parent saying, yeah, they're allowed to go to this person's house. One time a friend forgot a note and our bus driver took her back to the school and called her parents to come pick her up. That shit was crazy. Casey next asked Jessica about sleeping over and then a third unnamed friend, both of whom turned her down and thought it was kind of weird that she was asking to spend the night in a school night, but she didn't seem to be upset about the rejection. She just kind of like laughed before hugging them goodbye and heading home on the school bus like normal. That evening, Casey was home alone. T Tim was researching at his college's library, and Tim's friend Eric was at electrician's class. And even her aunt next door was away at a basketball game for her daughter. Rick had actually been considering calling in sick that night as he had a sinus infection, but figured that he'd be able to make it through the rest of his shift and just go home at 2 a.m. with no issue. Casey didn't mind her dad's late hours or being home alone. She felt comfortable in her house and safe enough that most nights she didn't even bother locking the front door. This particular night, she was spending her alone time messaging with Scott online and talking to Dave on the phone, who said his aunt's condition was getting worse. He told her how he'd been driving to Arkansas to be by his aunt's side when she died. At 9:41 p.m., Casey's messages to Scott abruptly stopped. Scott very quickly grew concerned, sending more messages to get someone's attention, even calling Casey's home to make sure she was okay. He emailed her friend Jessica saying, "Jessica, please let this be you. Something is wrong with Casey. Her SN is still on, and she all of a sudden left during our convo but didn't log off, and I tried to call her and no one answered, and we weren't fighting or anything, so I emailed the cops to make sure she's all right. I hope they get it soon. I'm going crazy. I don't know what I would do without her. Please, God, let her be okay." But it was already too late by now, and Jessica wasn't awake to see this email. When Eric arrived home around 10:15 and saw that Casey wasn't around, he just assumed that she was sleeping or out with family and friends and continued about his normal activities. He watched TV for an hour, did some laundry, and at one point as he walked by doing the laundry, he noticed that Casey was in her room, but didn't really think too much of it. It wasn't until a few minutes later when Casey's brother Tim arrived home around 11:40 that Eric asked where Casey was, and this finally raised the alarm that something was wrong. Tim called his dad Rick at work, who told him to check their aunt's home and call Casey's friends while he drove to the police department. When he arrived there, he called Tim back and was informed that nobody had heard anything about Casey. Rick notified the county sheriff's office that he believed his daughter was missing and immediately drove home to see what was going on. Upon his arrival, he noticed that the house showed signs of forced entry. Casey's Yorkshire Terrier named George, who she really, really loved, was limping around the house. Her messages with Scott were still open, and her reading glasses were damaged and had a lens missing. The only thing that was missing from the house was Casey. Rick first tried to call Casey's friends, but nobody had heard from her, so he contacted police for backup. In the meantime, using instant message logs, Eric was able to read back on her latest messages and reach out to Scott for more information. He recounted what they'd spoken about, mentioning her being lectured by the counselor and saying how she'd been talking to their friend Dave, but, quote, "Don't worry about Dave, he's just a good friend. I would have said something if I didn't think he was a good guy, but he's cool." Investigators first began to arrive at 12:24 a.m. Initially, it was still considered that maybe she'd run away, but this idea was quickly rejected. Rick said that she was happy with her life and she wouldn't leave without telling anyone. He said he'd last spoken to Casey around 7 p.m. when he called to check in, and that she'd been practicing playing her saxophone and seemed normal. It should also be noted that her coats and shoes had been left behind, and that night it was around like 39 degrees and was rainy. So this also helped investigators come to the conclusion that they were dealing with an abduction. Recognizing the severity of what was happening and realizing that they needed to act quick, an Amber Alert was sent out at 5:14 a.m. and a massive investigation was started involving the FBI, Arkansas State Police, every law enforcement agency in Faulkner County, police dogs, and dozens of volunteers. The Woody family computer was taken as evidence, and Casey's friends were interviewed, leading to investigators finding out about Scott and Dave. Scott's computer was traced to an address in Alpharetta, Georgia, and upon going to investigate, the FBI found that Scott actually was a very real teenage boy who had given his true identity to Casey. They concluded that he'd been at home when she disappeared, so he was cleared of any suspicion. While investigating Scott, they were also looking into Dave, as they'd been told about him claiming to be headed to Arkansas that night. After searching the area for potential clues as to Dave's identity, a car with a California license was found in Motel 6 in nearby Conway. Speaking to employees at the motel, the detectives found out that the car belonged to a 47-year-old man named David Fuller, who had checked in on December 2nd and booked a week's stay. He'd also requested that he get no maid service, and he got very angry at the staff over having no internet in his room and like stormed off with his laptop to go to a public internet place instead. His room was searched. Inside, they found his suitcase and laptop, but no Dave. His bed also had not been slept in. The investigation next took them to a car rental facility, where an employee recalled meeting Dave, who who acted strangely and repeatedly went outside to smoke while filling out his paperwork, interrupting the process. After getting a subpoena for this paperwork, they found that Dave's phone number was a match for the number that had been repeatedly dialed by Casey at the Woody's home. They also found that he'd rented a silver minivan and that his credit card was used to make a purchase at a storage facility. It was at this point that Fuller was confirmed to be Dave, and he was upgraded from a person of interest to a suspect in Casey's abduction. While en route to the storage facility, police received some good news. A witness who had heard the news of Casey's disappearance had seen the suspect's rented minivan and was following it in Little Rock. They figured that Dave had gotten scared and left Casey, instead of fleeing town on his own. At around 6 p.m. on December 4th, Conway Police Sergeant and two FBI agents arrived at Fuller's storage unit, noticing that the door was down, but it wasn't locked. As they lifted the door, they had time to see a silver minivan inside, facing the front with its engine running, before a gunshot went off. Rushing outside for cover, law enforcement called for backup and shouted for whoever was inside to surrender their weapon and go outside with their hands up, but received no response. It wasn't until hours later, around 8:30 p.m., that a SWAT team finally arrived and the unit was entered. So they waited like 2 hours in a standoff. A silent standoff. Inside the unit, they went to the minivan and found David Fuller dead inside, his body lying on the floor behind the car next to the removed back seats, still holding a gun. He seemingly had shot himself in the head when the garage door had been opened. So they were in a standoff with someone who was dead. Surrounding him were dozens of cigarette butts, a lighter, and a bottle of water. It appeared that he'd been hiding out in the storage facility since the night before, and that he'd been using the car's heater to stay warm and listen to the radio for updates on Casey's disappearance. And this is a little disturbing, just so you all know. In the back of the van, Kelsey's body was found laying face up with her wrists and ankles chained to the four corners of the van's floor. She'd been raped and shot in the head, and next to her head was a half-empty bottle of chloroform and a rag. An examination later showed that she more than likely had been unconscious from the time of her abduction to when she was murdered. She was just 13 years old at the time of her death. So, opinions differ on when Casey was actually killed. The security box used to access the storage facility showed that the night before, David used his access code around 10:15 p.m., meaning he likely taken Casey back immediately following her abduction. The next morning, he left the unit at 7:21 to go to a convenience store and arrived back 21 minutes later. It's unclear if Casey was still alive when he left that morning, but it's theorized that Dave had been planning on waiting until dark to flee the facility on foot. Rick Woody had been at home while all this was happening, sitting watching TV for updates on the standoff between the man who kidnapped his daughter and police, and listening to his police radio. As the news announced that there would be a press conference at 10 p.m., Rick's radio went silent, and he knew that his daughter had died. Casey's friends Jessica, Sam, and a few others close to her were at Sam's house watching the news on the standoff as well. As a picture of a scrawny, balding man with a mustache appeared on their screens, they sat looking uncertainly at the man they believed had been the 18-year-old Dave. As the 10 p.m. broadcast aired and Casey's death was announced, her friends huddled on Sam's staircase and all cried together. Another one of Casey's friends since kindergarten, Haley, hadn't actually heard the news as it was happening. When her dad called her following, asking if she was okay, she simply responded, "Hopefully they'll find her," before he uncomfortably asked to speak to her mother, who had to break the news to their child, along with her stepfather. When Casey's Aunt Teresa heard the news of her niece's murder, she wasn't surprised. The morning after she'd gone missing, Teresa arrived home around 6 a.m. and saw an owl on her deck, a symbol of death in her late native Alaskan husband's tribe. When Casey's death was confirmed, Teresa was the one who had to break it to her own parents, who by now had already lost their daughter and one granddaughter, and now they'd lost a second. Her father asked in tears, "Why can't we keep our girls? We keep losing our girls." Casey's funeral was held on December 9th, 2002. She was buried in Rosebud, Arkansas, next to her mom, and in the same cemetery as her cousin who had died years before. She'd been dressed in a yellow dress made by her grandma, even though it was a little tight on her. It had been her favorite. An investigation was made into the man who had killed Casey before taking his own life. So David Fuller was born on January 18, 1955 in Salt Lake City, Utah. He was the youngest of four children to Ned and June Fuller, who were devout Mormons. Dave's a pretty quiet kid who kept himself and didn't do too well in school. As a teen, he and his friends were rebellious, skipping school, and causing trouble. After graduating, he went out to join several different bands, taking on the role of guitarist, and he had shunned Mormonism altogether. At 19, Dave married an unnamed woman and moved with her to Eastern Utah, but the marriage ended soon after. He later met Sally Kranz in the early 1980s at a bar where he'd been playing the guitar. The couple fell in love and married on May 21st, 1983, and moved to Salt Lake City. By 1989, Dave had joined the Navy and the couple moved to Gulfport, Mississippi, where they had a son. They later moved to Maryland and had another child, this time a daughter, before heading over here, actually, to San Diego. In 1997, the Fuller family moved to La Mesa, which, if you're not familiar with the area, it's like East County, San Diego.
My God.
I wasn't expecting, I didn't know he was in San Diego until I'd already decided on the story. And 2 years later, Dave left the Navy. As time went on, Dave and Sally's marriage became more strained. When they first got together, both had done a lot of social drinking, which helped Dave be more talkative and fun to talk to. As he began to ease up on drinking, Dave had developed anger problems and had mood swings. He also began to spend lots of time alone, or taking nighttime walks around the neighborhood while on the phone. There was also one concerning incident where he'd been arrested for exposing himself to two young girls, but he claimed that he just stopped to ask them a question and they'd run off screaming. He actually didn't defend himself in this charge, really. He skipped his court appearance and simply paid a fee for the crime, which is actually just a misdemeanor to flash children back then, at least. In June of 2002, Sally attended a divorce workshop and got paperwork to begin the divorce process while Dave is out of town with their children. She actually thought he would be happy about this, as the two's marriage was pretty much a shambles, and he himself had brought up the D word once, but he was furious when he found out. However, they did still separate, and Dave moved into his own apartment. In August of 2002, CPS investigated Dave for a report made by a suspicious Sally that he'd been showering with his daughter, but it was found that he had done nothing to abuse her. That year, he'd also been charged with spousal abuse after he returned to Sally's home one night and shoved and screamed at her, even unlocking the door to a room she'd locked herself and her children in with a screwdriver. That same month, Dave lost his job at a car dealership. His boss cited a lack of productivity, but secretly thought that Dave had been visiting child porn websites on work computers. Following the discovery of Casey and her killer's body, a warrant was obtained for the FBI to search Dave's apartment. Inside, next to his computer, they found a framed photo with pictures of Casey and papers with her and her friends' phone numbers and addresses written on it. In his computer, they found a saved poem that Casey had written about her mom's death and pictures of Casey along with her friends. Through this evidence, it was found that Fuller had attempted to groom at least three other girls around Casey's age, beginning in 2000, though none of these had led to any real-life encounters. He offered to buy one of these girls a plane ticket from Michigan to California, but she rejected him and any attempts that he made for her to give him her phone number. In spring of 2002, he mailed a Dallas girl flowers, but she reportedly had never given him her address. Furious, this girl's dad immediately banned her from talking to Dave and insisted that she cut him off. Though he had been arrested previously for the exposing incident, a search of his DNA through a national database yielded no crime similar to Casey's murder, which surprised some as the level of detail they put into it. Investigators also found that this had not been the only time Fuller had gone to Arkansas. In fact, he'd been there twice before that fall. Records show that the first time he visited was in October, and he'd rented a car before checking into a Motel 6 in Conway. Though not confirmed, it's believed that during this trip, he spied on Casey in her house. Casey's friend Jessica later spoke about the night they heard strange noises during a sleepover and wonders if perhaps that had been Fuller sneaking into the house to hurt one or maybe even both of them. Before his final trip that ended in his death, Fuller bought duct tape, chains, and zip ties from a local Home Depot. He was then able to get a bottle of chloroform from a medical supply company, all of which he packed up in his car before driving to Arkansas, where he would go on to kidnap and murder Casey Woody. Upon hearing of his crimes, Fuller's parents were in disbelief that he could commit such heinous acts, but were eventually able to accept the truth after some convincing by detectives. Ned, Dave's dad, had even wanted to reach out to Casey's father, actually, to express his condolences, but detectives urged him not to. Dave Foley's remains were cremated, and his ashes were eventually interred in Mill Creek, Utah, above the grave of his parents, both of whom died after him. Casey liked to help people in life, and her father wanted to do something in her honor, a way to help prevent future similar crimes from occurring. So following her horrifying murder, Casey's loved ones created the Casey Woody Foundation, a nonprofit organization to help teach parents and children about internet safety. But yeah, that's my story.
All right, now it's my turn to butcher my story.
Let's go. We live for this.
But before that, this is irrelevant.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted to share what happened at work today.
Oh. Yeah, this is relevant.
My trainer, you know, had left, and I was left in charge with this other lady who's been there like a while.
Mm-hmm.
She like went to the bathroom or something, and we were like done, and then this other like older dude comes up to me, and he was like, "Oh, I'm like," and then he told me his name. "What's your name again?" And then I told him my name. I was like, "Oh, I'm Brayden." And then he was like, "Can I ask you like a personal question?"
Oh, God.
Like, and I was like, "Yeah, sure." And he was like, "I think you already know what I'm gonna ask." And then I was just like, I just stayed quiet because I mean, I just do like, know.
No, what?
I know. And then he was like, kind of just trying to muster up the courage to ask me. He's like, "Are you what?" Like he didn't know how to word it. No, and you could tell he has a very thick accent, so I had to like really like pay attention to him.
Yeah.
Because most of the people that work there, they're like you could tell English is their second language. Most of them are like Asians.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he had a very thick accent, and I was like, and then he didn't know how to word it, and he was like, "Are you like a boy or a girl?" And then I was like, or he even said, he's like, "Are you transgender?" And I was like, "Yeah, actually." And he was aww. Like, "I knew it. I was right." And he was saying, he was saying that like, I guess other people are like questioning it and like have been asking him because he's always running around and he talks to my trainer a lot. And so, yeah, they were all, I guess people have been asking him and he's like, "I don't know." He's like, "Why don't you ask him?" Like he was telling me all this. And then everyone's like, "No, like, not yet.
He's the only one brave enough to ask."
Yeah. But yeah, it was just so funny. And like, it wasn't like in a like rude way. Like he was actually really like sweet. He was like, "That's cool." And then just asking me like questions. Like,
not like inappropriate, like, just normal questions.
I mean, in the workplace, I guess it technically is a little inappropriate, but okay. But not like that. It was more of like my name. So he's like, asking like how it works or like, is that like my birth name and all that? And, cause my work badge has Brayden on it.
Yeah.
And so he was just kind of confused. So he's like, "Is that your name?" Or like, and I was like, "Not officially." I was like, "It's not my birth name if that's what you're like asking."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Oh." And he was like, "Well, you know, they can like change it now. Like you could change your gender marker and your name." And I was like, "I know, I just haven't done it."
That's and he's sweet like, of so him. How does
but he was all like, "How does that work?" Like he was just, I guess, kind of confused that on paper, like I can go by my legal name, but like socially and like name tags and all of that, I can go by a preferred name.
It's just like a nickname.
Yeah. But yeah. He was just kind of confused about it. Like I don't think he knew that was a thing.
He's like, I had been going by my nickname all these years. What?
Yeah. Yeah. He was just very puzzled but he was sweet about it. He wasn't like, he was just like, "Oh, that's cool." Yeah. He wasn't rude about it. Like he genuinely like wanted to know.
Nice.
And I mean, I didn't mind because the way he approached me too, like I could tell, you know, what he was gonna ask me. Because I mean, but yeah, he was just a really sweet old dude and was just asking me questions and
that's nice.
Just trying to, I guess, understand in a way.
Yeah.
And he was like, "That's cool. I know what that is." And I was like, "Cool." And then I was like, "Yeah, I like take hormones and stuff." And he was like, "Wow." And then he was asking, like, "Are you like female to male?" And I was like, "Yeah." But
He's like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
He's so cool and with the times.
Yeah. But yeah, he's like this really short, like, nice little Asian man. Nice. But yeah, he was like, are you female to male or male to female? And I was like, oh, I'm female to male. And he's mm-hmm. like, oh, okay.
You know, my favorite shit that I see on Twitter is whenever people are trying to be, like, transphobic and they get, like, the phrase is confused. Like, they hear trans woman and they think that that means, like, that it's female to male, like, transitioning. And they're like, oh, you're never going to be a guy no matter how hard you try. Like, you'll always be a girl. And they're like, thank you.
I love when that happens. It's so funny. That's so they're sweet. Like, when they're like, trans women are women. And then you're it's like, yeah, hell yeah.
Accidentally supportive. Retweet. You're right.
But yeah, it was just, I was like, I've honestly been waiting for someone to say something.
Someone to ask.
Yeah. And that's he was funny. The first one to ask.
I'm kind of surprised that he just straight up asked you. I didn't think he'd ask if you're trans. I thought he'd just ask, like, are you a boy or a girl?
No, he did ask me if I was a boy or a girl.
Yeah. But, damn. That's so funny. I feel like if I didn't know, I would never ask somebody. Some people are wild for asking. Right? Would you ever ask somebody?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, you are like, trans, so actually, it'd be a little different. Because you'd be like, I relate.
True. But I personally don't think I could ask because actually at school, there is someone at school that I'm like, I knew her since I started in December last year, like with my mom, because I remember I had started off at night school.
Yeah.
And so they go to night school, and I remember like talking to them, and yeah, I mean, they identified as she at that time, but now, like, I, like, am questioning it, but I'm too scared to, like, ask them.
I think they could be, like, a trans man?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Because from what I can tell, they, like, bind and stuff now.
It could be non-binary, too, as well.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't know.
Just sticking with they for now. Gender neutral.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to. Because my one of my educators is really bad at it, and he still calls me she and stuff like that.
Really?
I think it was last night, my mom was in our class because her teacher wasn't there, and it was literally like her and one other student, so she literally just came to our class. Yeah, I was like doing my mom's hair, and then I forgot what we were talking about, and he was like, oh, your daughter, like, and I was like, actually, I'm her son. And then he was like, oh, shit, that's right, I'm sorry.
He's oh,
like,
gosh.
He was like, I always fuck up with you. And then he said the mentioned other person.
Mentioned
the other
person?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. So there definitely is.
You're like, tell me more.
But yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't ask.
Yeah, I wouldn't ask. Just because I'm a sheik.
Yeah. I mean, there's like on our stream and on Discord, we still just, like, say they for everyone, basically. It's so funny because we literally have, like, roles on our channel where you can, like, put what your pronouns are. And people have to remind me all the time. They're like, you can say he. I put down he. And I'm like, I know, I'm just used to saying they. Like, I'm not used to it. I need to get better at it because I'm like, I guess it's kind of doing the opposite of what I mean if I'm just, like, disregarding the fact that you say that you're a dude. That's and true. Stuff.
Very true.
Yeah. Let me get better at that. Actually going and looking. Because we put the tags and then, like, I never look, you know? I'm just like, yeah, you just mark that. I'm never going to check. Whoops.
Actually, I actually need to talk to one of my my manager about it because he keeps calling me she.
Oh, he doesn't know.
No, he does know. He interviewed me I said it.
That's worse. Yikes.
But I don't know if he thinks, like, maybe the opposite.
That you're a trans woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe just clarify.
So I need to talk to him, but I'm, like, scared.
Whenever we went to Pride and, like, you were wearing the shirt, like, and, like, came out as trans and stuff, our friend was in town. Shout out Sammy. Sammy, I don't know if you still listen.
Aww,
hi.
Sammy.
I remember because she, like, wasn't sure, like, what pronouns you have to use for you after, because I just kept saying, like, he for the rest of the day because I was trying to get used to it, and I didn't know you weren't coming out, like, at work yet. And then I was like, correct her, and was like, oh no, I think it's he. And she's like, I don't know him. I just met him for the first time today. I don't know what he's transitioning to. And I was like, oh, fair. True. She's like, I don't know this person.
So she
saw his shirt.
Yeah. That's true.
But yeah, that's going to be a fun conversation for you.
I know. I'm like scared.
Just next time he does it, just casually be like, oh, it's he. See if that's enough.
I don't want to be like rude about it. Like, I just wanted to stop him. I'll be like, hey, so like, oh, I almost said his name. I was like, hey, like, you got a sick? I just want to be like, hey, do you got a sick? And then he'd be like, yeah, sure. And I would be like, hey, I just want to let you know that I actually, my pronouns are like he, him, his.
Yeah. Just say like, oh, I think maybe you got mixed up.
Yeah.
Just doing a, because I know you, doing a very non-confrontational way.
I don't like confrontation.
Yeah, no one does. Well, some people do. Never mind.
Yeah, that's true. Some people love that shit. Me? No, thank you.
No, thanks. Avoid it
at all costs.
Yeah. Just practice with Alaris and do like a weird little like role play situation. And be like, all right, pretend to be my coworker and let's have this conversation.
Well, it's funny because most other coworkers, like my trainer, like I've never mentioned anything to him, but he, it's funny because they'll literally be talking, like my manager and my trainer, and then my manager will be like she, and then my trainer will like write back at him and say he. So it's just kind of funny, like they, I don't know if like they don't.
They're don't like, he uses all the pronouns, right?
They're like using both.
That's actually hilarious. You get a third coworker to come in and be like, well, they, and just be like, all right, right, guys, all right. No one knows what's going on here.
I mean, I hang out more with my like trainer, obviously, so he does, I guess, you know, see me.
Yeah, maybe whenever he says it too, that's him trying to like correct the other person, but the other person just doesn't catch on.
True. But that's why I want to say something, because it's like, because now, like today with the other person he left me in charge with, he kept saying like, oh, she, and make sure like she does this. And
oh,
so now like she's calling me she. So I'm like, okay, I need to like
stop. Yeah, you need to stop it before he like makes more people think that you're she.
Oh, but I mean, the other coworker did say something of like he saw me, mostly the guys that see me as guys, which is funny.
Yeah.
Because it was the guy coworker, and he was saying how they were like asking him like if he knew like what I was, and that he said, he was like, I was telling them to add, like, why don't you ask him? So, aww, like, he already, like, saw me as him.
Yeah, you already give off that vibe. It's so funny to me that people could hear your voice still and not know as well. But I guess, everyone's voices sound different. It's just to me, because I heard your voice before, I'm like, no shit. Have them listen to the first episode of our podcast, and then they'll get it.
Well, you know what? I've actually seen, now that I think about it, I've seen him in the restroom before, so I think that's why.
Yeah, okay, that probably gave it away to him.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they just questioned it because it's really hard to hide my chest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I bind, but they still...
Is that part of the reason you wanted, like, a job and money to save up for that still?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. That's so expensive.
I was, like, talking to my brother-in-law yesterday, Jesus. And I was like, I don't remember what I said, but I said some stupid little comment, and he like was like kind of, he looked so shook because he told me, he was like, dude, honestly, I forget that you have some.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I was like, well, I do got some, and I was like, and they big. I was like, I just need to get this weight off my chest. And then we started laughing. Cause
I forget, too, whenever you say stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, what the fuck? Because I think that the binding works better than you realize.
I think so, too, but...
You're going to be more critical of yourself enough than anyone else is.
True.
Yeah.
Well, like, I feel like not enough because people still be questioning, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, I don't have no facial hair, really, so I know that's...
We're waiting for that beard. That just might be your bad genes, though.
True.
Some guys just don't get facial hair.
I mean, it's still really early. That's true. I'm 10 months.
Your tea baby is now a month old.
Yeah, I'm 10 months, and I've read or like heard from other people that the earliest for some people it's had happened, like for them to get like a lot of facial hair, is at least a year.
Oh, really? I didn't know it took that long.
No, okay, yeah, cool. It could even take longer. I read that someone's started like after 18 months.
I mean, who wants a beard during summer anyway? It's hot as shit. Wait till winter and then grow it.
I do.
I kind of make you feel better, but I know you do. As Robert's like sitting 5 feet away with his little beard. Like, what kind of freak?
I mean, I do have like, you probably can't tell, but.
I can't tell this webcam quality anything, really.
Webcam sucks, but I do have like, what is this?
Jawline?
Like, yeah, my jawline. I am getting more hairs there. Okay. I also have hella hairs on my neck.
This is a good sign.
And then my mustache, the ends of it.
I feel corners. Like it looks darker, but I don't know if I'm just like seeing what I want to see or if it's actually like there, you know?
It's actually darker.
It is actually there? Okay, cool. Because yeah. I don't know if I'm just tripping.
No, it's actually like darker.
Hey.
But yeah, I was actually like talking to my mom and Alaris about how I just kind of been stuck in a dilemma because I'm like, I want to shave it off because it's literally like a little bit. And I'm like, is there really a difference? But then I don't want to shave it off because I feel like it does look like pretty dark.
Yeah.
And I feel like it helps me pass more. So
buy
I don't
that,
know.
Buy men's beard dye. Just dye it a little
True,
bit.
True. I have like heard of people doing that.
So what do I do with my eyebrows? I mean, I need to dye them right now, but it works.
Damn,
I get it. I get that gray coverage, but it does stain your skin under a little bit. So don't do it on a weekend when you have 2 days off. So you don't like have like stained skin. You'll wash your face a few times before you see people.
Dang.
But do yeah. it. But yeah, anyway.
All right. I guess I should start my story, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Talk about the murder of Cynthia Huffman.
Okay.
Cynthia Huffman was born and raised in Anchorage, Alaska. She had a developmental disability that caused her to operate intellectually at a seventh grade level.
Okay.
And she was in high school.
Okay.
When she was 19? Yes, she was 19 in high school and... intellectually was I get the level of a seventh grader.
Yeah. Okay.
Which low key that sounds like my bro.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, I don't know about seventh grade, but definitely is slower.
How do people decide which grade?
You know what? That's a great question.
You're like, you know what, they make a lot of like jokes about 69. It kind of reminds me of a seventh grader. Let's just say seventh grade. And I'm like, okay, I do that 26. Who knows?
Actually, I wonder now like what grade they would put my brother in.
Yeah, who decides this? I wonder what the like what makes it seventh versus eighth grade, you know?
Yeah.
What's the difference here? Because I don't know. I think it's not that different.
I'm like questioning it now because my brother is definitely on the spectrum, and then he has something called Landau-Kellner syndrome.
Okay, I'm not sure what that is, to be honest.
It's not supposed to affect him anymore, but we're actually like unsure if it still does because its symptoms are like not like physical, but basically he gets brain seizures.
Ooh,
but they're not
scary.
Like they're not the seizures you're like probably like convulsing.
Yeah, it's like just small seizures in his brain. That seems scarier because you don't know that they're happening.
It is, but yeah, he has that. Supposedly you outgrow it, but we're like not sure, and he hasn't gone to the doctor in like a while, so we don't know.
And you can't see it physically.
Yeah. And also just in general, he did have like a learning disability and speech problems. But I know some of those stem from his syndrome. But yeah, I don't know. I was like, because he's smart in his own way, you know?
Yeah. I mean, also just school smart in general is not really a good comparison.
Yeah.
I'm like, so, like a smart seventh grader or like me in seventh grade? Because that's different things.
I was like, he's smarter than some adults I know, like independent wise. Like he's very independent, financially smart.
That's like, why I'm wondering, how the fuck do they decide?
I don't get it. My head, he's smart as fuck.
Yeah. Do they like take a quiz and it's like, oh, this is what grade you're in?
I'm in fucking fifth grade, apparently.
I remember being in fifth grade and they told us that fifth grade is kind of like the smartest you'll ever be, and that you like have more knowledge retained at that age. And that's why they had that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
What?
Yeah. Like, you're not technically smarter than everyone, but you have more knowledge at that, in that grade, typically. I remember telling that to my dad, and he was like, no. Like, low-key getting offended, thinking that I'm saying I'm smarter than him. And I'm like, all right, you're a grown man, chill.
That's funny. I didn't
know that. Yeah. So you wish you were as smart as a fifth grader is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I do wish. Because I remember watching the show, and I deadass did not know anything.
That's what I'm saying. Fifth graders know a lot of random shit.
I was like, how the fuck?
We're a little off track here.
I know. My bad. It's all me.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
I don't know.
I'm not.
Quiz me after.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
We're not doing that because it'll just be disappointing.
Her father, Timothy Huffman, said that her disability just made her want to have friends.
That's cute.
That's all she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she, like, I guess, cared about, was just being with friends with everybody. And Cynthia had a best friend. Or at least she thought she was her best friend.
Okay.
It was an 18-year-old named Denali Bremer. The two had met while attending the same high school. But in Cynthia's eyes, they were BFFs. Like, I think they even said that she had, like, posted her on her Instagram and, like, quoted it, like, BFF. And they were, like, doing, like, goofy poses and stuff like that. Okay, I'll talk about her dad. All right, well, her dad, Timothy, was actually a handyman and was very involved. And it sounds like an awesome dad in my eyes.
Oh, cool.
But, yeah, he basically talks about how he taught his daughter to be his right-hand man. And he knew something was wrong when his daughter didn't show up on June 2nd to collect the money he had owed her from a recent job. And just because the way he raised her, like, you know, he would have her, like, help with work and stuff like that. But he always paid her for it. Like,
good.
I'm like, you know, that's, like, awesome.
As you should. People like to take advantage of their kids sometimes like that.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, he said it was very unlike her for her just, like, not pick up her phone and to not call and, like, say where she is.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically says that he told his kids this. In this family, you all have phones. When dad calls, you answer. I don't care if you're at church and the holy pastor is preaching. I don't care if you're at school and taking the high school diploma test. If dad calls, you answer.
Oh, okay.
I'm like,
so yeah, don't.
But yeah, I guess the next morning, when Cynthia still hadn't shown up, her dad Timothy notified the police. But he was not the type of person to like sit around, and he actually like did his own search parties right away, and he like talks about how he drove his motorcycle just like hella fast everywhere trying to look for her.
Oh.
But yeah, it was too late. On June 4th, a knock on the door confirmed his worst fear. Cynthia was dead. But before like he found out that she died, he had actually been texting Cynthia's best friend, Denali, but he actually knew her as Angela.
Okay, was it like a nickname or? You'll get into it.
Nope.
Okay.
But yeah, he like texted her and was like, "Oh, have you heard from her?" and this and that. And Angela, aka Denali, just said that she had dropped her off at a local park, like, because mm-hmm. she had asked her to drop her off there. And she appeared very distraught over Cynthia's disappearance, and even, like, texted, "I hope she comes home safely. She's my best friend." But after he found out that his daughter died, that's when he found out that Angela's real name was Denali, and that she knew a lot more than she was letting on.
Okay, what did Cynthia know her friend as Denali or Angela?
That I do not know. I think Angela. I think she lied to her.
Okay, so everyone thought she was, everyone in this family thought she was Angela.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
At least that's what
that's I your gathered. Russian.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I mean, maybe that was her nickname and that's what they knew her by. Yeah. And Cynthia's nickname was Cece.
Oh.
Well, yeah, police ended up finding Cynthia's body on the bank of the Iklunta River, near a hiking trail on the outskirts of Anchorage. Her feet were duct taped together, and she had been shot in the back of the head.
Fuck.
Authorities announced that Denali orchestrated the murder and recruited 4 friends to help her.
What the fuck?
Your face. Yeah. Apparently, she says that a man who she met on the internet would pay her $9 million or more for filming it.
Filming her murdering her friend?
Yes, or dude, among other things.
Okay.
And officials couldn't really pinpoint why she targeted Cynthia, but her family thinks it was like due to her disability, just because she, I guess in a way, was gullible.
She thought she was like an easier target?
Yeah. At least that's what her family thinks.
Yes, yeah.
Which makes sense. Sad to say, but makes
sense. And she was like her best friend. She would trust her.
Yeah, exactly. According to court documents, Denali had formed an online relationship with a man who called himself Tyler and claimed to be from Kansas. He convinced her that he was a millionaire and offered to pay her $9 million or more to, quote, rape and murder someone in Alaska. Then send him photos and videos.
Ew.
Denali agreed, and she allegedly recruited 4 of her friends to help her, offering them a cut of the money if they helped orchestrate and carry out the murder. On June 2nd, Denali and 16-year-old Caden McIntosh borrowed a friend's pickup truck to pick up Cynthia and drove her to the northern outskirts of Anchorage, claiming that they were going to go hiking. They took Cynthia to the Thunderbird Falls Trail, a popular hiking path that cuts through a mile of birch forest before reaching a spectacular 200-foot waterfall. Which I'm like, I want to go there.
And I was thinking, I was like, that sounds pretty. I'm going to look this up later.
But instead of heading for the falls, they abandoned the trail and followed another path that ran alongside the Iklutna River, walking until they found an isolated clearing. The teenagers bound Cynthia's hands, feet, and mouth with duct tape. Once restrained, Caden allegedly took Denali's 9mm handgun and shot her in the back of the head. They left her body in the river. And after it all came out, Denali reportedly said in a video that she posted on Snapchat, "I guess you will hear from me when you hear from me, but I won't be back for a long time. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it." And it wasn't even, I mean, she obviously never got her money.
Yeah.
Because she had been catfished.
Yeah, no shit.
So, yeah, she had been sending videos and photos to, quote, Tyler, not knowing his real name was Darren Schumiller, a 21-year-old who lived in Indiana, who looked nothing like the photo he had sent her and wasn't a millionaire. When first questioned by police on June 6th, 2 days after Cynthia's body was found, Denali allegedly claimed that the three teenagers, herself, Cynthia, and Caden, had gone to the Thunderbirds Falls to take pictures of each other wrapped in duct tape. She said that she had no idea that Caden planned to shoot the 19-year-old.
Let's go take pictures of ourselves wrapped in duct tape. Okay.
Yep, sounds...
super casual.
Yeah, for sure. Further investigation yielded a stomach-churning discovery. Police got a search warrant for Denali's phone and found child pornography in plain view.
Ew.
In a text message with Darren, who was identified as Babe in her phone, ugh, she had detailed her plans to sexually assault a teenage girl and film it for him.
Okay.
And then, like, this was some of her text. She said, "Gonna go buy weed first. I want to get her high for it so she doesn't fight me." Ew. Darren allegedly told Denali that he wished he had never made a deal with her in the first place. Because after she, like, made that deal, he basically tried to blackmail her for more videos. And was like, if you don't send me videos of, like, kids and stuff, that he was gonna basically go to the police and say that she murdered Cynthia.
Jesus Christ. Ew.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I guess he said, "We can meet, but once I see a cop, I'm telling him or her that I made you rape people and kill Cece."
Jesus Christ.
Once she learned that she had been duped, Delaney admitted that Darren had recruited her to commit a murder. She also said that he had directed her to sexually assault two minors, one who was 8 or 9 years old, and another who was 15.
Did she actually do that? Or he just wanted her to?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because they were unable to find any videos of the younger child, but they did find that she had sent him child pornography that featured a 15-year-old.
Ew, that she just found online?
Possibly, I don't know.
Gross.
But yeah, so Darren Schillmiller, Delaney, and Caden were all indicted on July 16th for murder and conspiracy charges. And I guess there was also more people. There was 3 more people.
Okay. Yeah, the other 19, friends.
Yeah, the 3 other people that had been there. 19-year-old Caleb Leyland, who allegedly, like, lent his car to Delaney and Caden, because I guess he was promised $500,000.
Ew, dude, what the fuck?
Just for letting them borrow his car.
But he knew what it was for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there were also 2 juveniles who were unnamed because they're juveniles.
Under 18 and they agreed to this?
Yes. I mean, Caden was 16.
Oh my god.
But yeah, I think they said that the female was actually present. The female juvenile. She was actually there, like, when they were planning it. Mm-hmm. And that one other, like, male admitted that he had, like, agreed and said he was going to partake in it.
So creepy.
But yeah, Darren also faces federal child pornography charges and is awaiting extradition to Alaska.
When did this happen? What year?
Oh my god, did I not write that down? I think it was 2019.
Oh, this is so recent. Okay.
Yeah, this is very recent. Each of the defendants face up to 99 years in prison if found guilty. And I honestly can't find any other, like, updates on it.
Probably because COVID happened. Like, it's already slow regardless. You're right. And then COVID probably slowed it down even more.
You're so right. I didn't think about that. But, yeah. I mean, the only thing that actually came up was for Darren's case. He ended up pleading not guilty, but I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah, it might still be ongoing, maybe?
It is, I believe it still is ongoing.
Okay.
For all of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it was just the three of them that really were going to get charged, because Kaden is accused of actually shooting her. And then Delani is obviously the instigator, and then Darren, the mastermind.
They're all lit.
They're all equally bad.
Yeah, just like a group of teenagers were like, sure, we'll take money from this stranger online and kill our friend and molest kids.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Money, money.
Also, they're stupid for falling for that. 9 mil. Come on.
Yeah.
Stupid.
But yeah, I mean, I'll try to keep an eye out, but as far as I know, they're kind of just still waiting. I actually look up his name, and I guess Denali actually has like a, what's it called? Restraining order against him, or protective order.
Oh, against Darren?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. But like
that was actually I now. That was actually in April of this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I found this website where it like kind of summarizes like what motions and stuff like that. But I honestly don't understand most of it besides that one.
Yeah, it just probably says, just still not much going on.
Yeah, it says motion for protective order modified by Denali Bremer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't really see anything else unless you buy it. So I was like, no.
Yeah, no. I hate whenever they put shit behind the paywalls.
Right? Like, fuck y'all. But yeah, so it's definitely still ongoing, but fucking crazy.
That's sad.
For night, she got murdered over nothing.
Literally. No one got money. Nothing happened. Now they just, they ended her life and just ruined their own like a bunch of idiots. All right. Yeah, well,
that's the sad story of Cynthia.
Okay. Well, did you have anything else to add?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, if anyone wants to reach out to us, you can make suggestions for episodes or tell us your own stories if you want to share any. Our email is thespookyshit.pod@gmail.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are spookyshit_pod, and our website is spookyshit-pod.com. Thank you all for listening. I think next week we're going to be back with potentially some myths, like urban legend type situations. So we'll see. Something ghosty. Something slightly less dark, hopefully. We'll see.
We shall see.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned. Yeah, stay tuned. And we'll talk to y'all next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.